Antifa. Who are these masked marauders? Find out now on The Uprising.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are The Uprising. With Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president! Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
I have never met with Russians.
Putin is continuing to advance into
Korea.
Gee, it's amazing that the Russians have been able to influence four special elections.
This is The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com. Tim Donner with you this week. Antifa. Americans are increasingly being exposed to the fascist tactics and brutality of these so-called anti-fascists, Antifa. But who are these masked marauders, these thugs hiding behind black masks, viciously attacking anyone who supports Donald Trump or disagrees with him on almost anything? And what is their end game? We know what they oppose, but what do they actually support other than violence against their opponents? National correspondent Tess Lynn has written about Antifa on LibertyNation.com. Her recent article is entitled "The Masked Fascists of Antifa," and she joins us now. Hi, Tess.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Now, I want to read the key excerpt from your article. Antifa's message is clear. If you aren't with them, you're against them. And if you're against them, expect violence. The mask-wearing, cowardly warriors descended on President Donald Trump's supporters with pepper spray and knocked them to the ground with the shields they carried. They reportedly beat at least one person carrying an American flag and forcefully prohibited anyone from filming the event, including reporters. So indeed, Tess, the brutality of Antifa got so bad a few days ago in Berkeley, as you described in that paragraph, that even the face of the left, Nancy Pelosi, not to mention the left-wing mayor of Berkeley, felt compelled to condemn them publicly. Do you get the sense that the tide may be turning against Antifa and that people will start paying more attention to them and less to the white supremacists who marched into Charlottesville?
Well, I don't know that they'll get less attention than the white supremacists for a little while, but Paul Ryan has even come out and calling Antifa the scourge. So it's gaining popularity, and that seems to be how things work in the media. Is once something gains some popularity, it just keeps growing, right or wrong. So I think we will start seeing a lot more people and organizations condemning Antifa.
Well, we'll await that. It does seem that one thing Antifa has in common with the white supremacist groups is that it's made up of losers, people who are going nowhere, have no job, no prospects, no hope. Now, Antifa marauders hide behind the masks, and there don't seem to be any lists of Antifa members per se, but based on your own reporting, is it fair to say that while there's got to be some actual communists in Antifa, that the bulk of these people are just, as President Trump might say, losers?
Absolutely. These people have nothing better to do than to go out and just cause mayhem and you know, get their 5 minutes of fame wearing their masks and hiding who they are. They obviously are not holding jobs, steady jobs, to be out at every protest, even when there's not a protest, causing problems. They're more of like the entitled and spoiled kids who are just looking for trouble. And they don't care who they hurt in the process.
Well, what do we know about the demographics of these people in Antifa? From the few times we've seen them without masks, like when they've been arrested and put in a police lineup, it seems like a lot of them, just like you said, like a lot of them, or maybe most of them, are middle-class white kids.
Right, yes. And apparently they didn't get enough discipline or something when they were younger, but they don't have an aim except to get together as a group of bullies and, you know, terrorize other people, regardless of what's going on. I mean, a person holding the American flag and they beat them to the ground. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, it certainly does. It certainly does in their world. But you might think that, I think a lot of people might think that these people have some big ideological agenda, but, you know, what do these people really want? I mean, other than anarchy, what's on their list of demands, or do they even have one?
Well, they constantly claim, you know, equality and, you know, against racism and such, but you can't believe it with the actions that they have or that they do. You know, you can't believe their signs and their messages. They don't have anything that I've seen. Not this group. I mean, you know, back in the day, I guess they were a little more organized and not so violent, but now it's more like it's just get their name out there, you know, just to cause issues. They're not trying to help or fix anything.
Well, this is the whole thing. I mean, we know what they're against. They're against Donald Trump. They're against anybody who supports Donald Trump, anybody who voted for Donald Trump, anybody who says anything that disagrees with him. They resort immediately to violence. But again, you know, as we've discussed here, we don't seem to see a list of demands that you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to get rid of this, you need to get rid of that, other than to try and take down Donald Trump. But let's move on to another quote from your article, which goes as follows. But what other message is Antifa trying to send by covering their faces? We already know that they fight fascism with fascist tactics. They claim to be against white supremacy, yet they cloak themselves in a way that inspires fear, promotes violence, and resembles the Ku Klux Klan. So what you're saying is that Antifa is what? Drawing on the same cowardice as the KKK?
If they are so, if they believe so much in their message, in their mission, and they feel that it's just and right, why do they need to cover their faces like the KKK did? I mean, the reason they're covering their faces is so that they're not recognizable. It doesn't send a very good message out to the other people, because if you're true and out there, then you're not going to be ashamed to show who you are. If you're doing, you know, violence and you're being false, you will cover yourself. You know, hide. You're hiding behind a mask. So to me, that's very cowardly. And that's, you know, that's what the KKK did too. I mean, originally it was to be, you know, to be like a ghost to frighten Black Americans. But then, you know, it's also a way of disguising themselves so the community wouldn't recognize who the members are. So why do you need to be disguised?
Well, it does seem, yeah, I mean, it does seem that in a way they're trying to use the same tactic as the KKK by masking themselves and making it black instead of white. Although, as we pointed out, from what we can tell in the limited number of Antifa protesters or whatever you want to call them who've been unmasked because they were arrested, it seems disproportionately white, even though that they're fighting against racism. They don't seem to have many black people in their group. But then again, that's just an anecdotal sample because, again, they hide behind the masks. You write in your article about how there have been many studies on how wearing a mask or disguise affects human behavior. What do those studies reveal?
It's human nature. If, you know, like, think about, well, you know, like the kids, if you cover your eyes, you can't see me because I can't see you. Well, when you wear a mask, it enables people to be more free and they will commit more, or they're more likely to commit something against the law or, you know, a little more risque that they wouldn't normally do had they been unmasked. Like, there were some children in one study that for Halloween, they were allowed two pieces of candy from a bowl. And the children that were masked, what was it, like 72% of them or 62% of them took more than the two candies they were allowed, while those who did not wear a mask, a higher majority only took the two. So it just gives you this sense of not necessarily invisibility, but, you know, more the ability to be free, and your who you are is hidden, so you can do things that you wouldn't normally do. And that's basically what it does. It just hides you from everyone else.
Somewhat like the bully on the playground who surrounds himself with a bunch of sycophants who just say yes, sir, to whatever the bully wants. He surrounds himself with those people and then gangs up on a single person in the playground who gets intimidated by the numbers, the same way that people can get intimidated by people with masks and clubs and baseball bats. I mean, the violence is palpable, again, to the point where those on the left have actually had to start denouncing Antifa. But in your, and this wasn't necessarily in your article, but just as an American, as someone who talks to people and gets around, do you find that in terms of what fear there is about this racial showdown that took place in Charlottesville and what it spawned in terms of the fear of extremist violence, do you find in your circles that people are more scared of the far right extremists, the Nazis, the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists, or the far left, the communists, the Antifa, the Marxist opposition to Trump and the establishment on the left? Which group are people more scared of, do you think?
Well, you know, obviously there's, you know, on both sides, there's quite a bit. The majority of people that I've talked to, it's more the left they fear. You know, it's trying to overthrow a president before he could even get started. It's no matter what the president does, it's wrong, you know, or they will look for a way that's wrong or look for something that they can say is wrong. And then Antifa is really causing a lot of concerns and scaring people. That's really been the big thing that's starting to grow more now.
You know, it's actually remarkable, Tess, that given the supposed threat level of these white supremacists, that no less a group than the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a far left group, which claims to be in business to identify hate groups on the right, which include some Christian organizations who are anything but hate groups, but be that as it may, even the Southern Poverty Law Center estimates that in the entire country, there are between 6 and 8,000 members of the Ku Klux Klan, a group that at its peak, at the pinnacle of its power or membership, had over 4 million members in a much smaller country maybe 80, 90 years ago. So that speaks, it seems to me, to the threat level or lack thereof of serious white supremacists. I mean, I don't know anybody that relates to them, and I doubt you do either.
I actually do know one person. We've had some pretty interesting conversations.
Well, tell me about those.
Well, he was just really prejudiced. I guess he was raised that way, and I got offended because my dad is Native American, and so, you know, he didn't realize that because I have blonde hair, and so it shocked him. But then he started coming around once he had a child. So, you know, maybe he just needed to grow up and see what his daughter could be going through. I don't know, but that was the only person I knew that was that kind of radical, and he actually grew out of it, so, an adult.
It was interesting to note Lisa K. Donner did a piece on this on libertynation.com where she talked about those facts that I just talked about, there's 6 to 8,000 in the entire country. I mean, that's just a minuscule, I mean, that's a group that couldn't even figuratively fit in into a, couldn't fill up a phone booth compared to the total population of the country. And yet we're being whipped into a frenzy as if this is some threat very a threat to the very fabric of our constitutional republic. So where do we go from here, do you think, in terms of trying to unmask Antifa and put the threat of Antifa in the proper proportion compared to the white supremacists?
Well, I think we need to stand up more and be a little louder, not violent, but louder. We have a tendency to kind of back off at times, whereas these groups, now it doesn't matter what's right and what's wrong. It's who's the loudest, it seems like. And so I think we need to just be a little, more proactive in getting involved and letting people know more about groups like Antifa and just be more involved in letting the public know, because they're only hearing the loudest. And right now the left is being the loudest, crying foul, you know, every which way but loose. So,
well,
every time you turn around.
LibertyNation.com is the place to go if you want to know the truth about the left, with the work of Tess Lynn and all our other outstanding authors. Thanks for spending a few moments with us today, Tess. We appreciate it.
And thank you, Tim.
Tess Lynn, national correspondent for LibertyNation.com, where you can read more about Antifa. Jeff Charles on the establishment media running cover for Antifa. Onur Am, our correspondent in Norway, on how Antifa has penetrated Europe and Scandinavia. Give them a read, because truth is making a comeback. LibertyNation.com. I'm Tim Donner, and this is The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com.